If you'll turn with me in your Bible in the, for the Hebrew Bible lesson found on page 651, I'll read from Isaiah 62, 1 through 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You will no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. As for a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Now, if you'll turn in our hymnal to 771, let us read the responsive reading, Psalm 36, verses 5 to 10. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to heaven, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the deep, deep. O Lord, human and animal, you save. O God, how precious is your steadfast love. All the people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the rivers of your delight. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart.
We turn to the epistle lesson for today. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. If you open the Pew Bible to the New Testament section and turn to page 163, there at the bottom left, you'll find chapter 12. Hear these words. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Find that at the bottom of page 87 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. This is a familiar story, I hope, for most. It comes at this time of the year, like clockwork. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, this is one of those unusual Sundays in that all of today's lectionary readings together seem to weave a nearly seamless tapestry, a consistent, comprehensive lesson for us modern-day Christian people. In short, God is graphically illustrating God's foundational nature of love, just as we talked about last week. And through these wonderful passages, God is helping us to see that we are, in truth and in calling, these water jars of wine. The story of the wedding at Cana occurs early in the Gospel of John and at the early stages of Jesus' public ministry. John calls this the first of Jesus' signs or miracles. And it has a lot to tell us about the basic nature of Jesus and his kingdom message. Like so many of the words and actions of Jesus, this story refers quite directly back to passages and messages from the Hebrew Bible. Jesus was demonstrating his legitimacy as the Son of God, as well as creating his legacy by fulfilling ancient prophecy. This wedding at Cana story is told to Christians starting at a very young age. It's likely that perhaps you first heard this story in a Sunday school class long ago. This is a story that appeals to little kids, but also clearly it appeals to us as adults as well. In part, I think we love the miracle aspect of this story, the fact that Jesus was able to change water into wine. I think mothers resonate with Mary's role with her son. I think sons and daughters can surely understand Jesus' reaction when his mom asked him for his help. The story appeals to our basic human nature on so many different levels. It's important that this story took place at a wedding banquet, because throughout the Bible, we find the themes of God's relationship with God's people in comparison with human love and human marriage. Think back to today's reading from the prophet Isaiah. "For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder, your creator, marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." Surely, John wanted his readers to make this connection. It is an illustration of God's love for all people and of Jesus' intimate relationship with each one of us. Well, as you heard, as you know, at this wedding feast, the wine runs out. The short ensuing conversation between mother and son is classic. Mary sizes up the situation and she knows full well that her little boy can fix this problem. But she doesn't confront him directly. Can't you just hear your own mom say this? I can hear my mom so clearly. They have no wine. And moms like the fact that even though Jesus didn't think initially that he ought to do anything, Mary's little boy is obedient when she simply looks at him with that look that speaks eloquently through her silence. Nothing more needs to be said. His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you," and that is that. One of the most important aspects of this story is the illustration of God's radical generosity, the overwhelming abundance and richness of God's love. In response to his mother's request, Jesus causes those six jars to be turned into more than 150 gallons of excellent wine. Wine that was of an even more superior quality than the wine that the human host of the wedding banquet had provided. When you consider this extraordinary and extravagant display of God's love, you might well hear the echoes from today's psalm reading. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. God's love for each of us is expansive and all-encompassing. On a different tack that moves us to a similar place, I want you to consider the message from today's epistle. In his letter to the church at Corinth, Paul reminds these people and us modern-day readers as well that in God's radical generosity, the Holy Spirit has provided gifts to all people. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, he says. Now, you may not immediately have identified your own gifts from among those listed in this scripture, but Paul also points out that the Spirit has endowed us with various forms of service and various forms of empowered actions. As Paul points out, all these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. Each of us has been given gifts that allow us to serve God and to further God's kingdom. But I wonder, how many of us are unaware of our own gifts or unsure that our gifts actually serve God in an appropriate manner? I wonder how many of us feel like one of those empty stone jars in the story. Listen and hear again Mary's instruction. Do whatever he tells you. Just like the servants who didn't understand what they were doing, and just like the steward who didn't understand the behavior of the host, we may not fully understand, but we should do what we are instructed to do by Jesus in order to fulfill God's will and to live out that kingdom life. Jesus can and will fill your stone jar completely full with the Holy Spirit. If you will be obedient to the Word of God, you also will be transformed into that superior quality of spiritual wine. Especially on this Sunday, when we think of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we see someone who identified himself first and foremost as a humble preacher, the pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. But Reverend Dr. King soon realized that God had a higher calling for him. MLK was a man who allowed Jesus to fill his empty stone jar. This was a man who was trying to follow the will of God at a time when most of the United States did not want to hear what he and God had to say about equality and human rights and the war in Vietnam. I went online and found an amazing biography on the website of the Nobel Peace Prize. So I want to read you a small section of Reverend Dr. King's biography. On August 28, 1963, the Reverend Dr. King directed the peaceful march on Washington, D.C. A quarter of a million people were there to whom he delivered his address, "I Have a Dream." He conferred with President John F. Kennedy. He campaigned for President Lyndon B. Johnson. He was arrested upward of 20 times and assaulted at least 4 times. He was awarded 5 honorary degrees, was named Man of the Year by Time magazine in 1963, and became not only a symbolic leader of American blacks, but also a world figure. At the age of 35, Martin Luther King Jr. was the youngest man to have received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. When notified of his selection, he announced that he would turn over the prize money of $54,000 to the furtherance of the civil rights movement. Even though he was assassinated in 1968, long before his time, and long before he could see his vision of the beloved community become a global reality, Martin Luther King Jr. changed the world for God's kingdom. Now, clearly, none of us is the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and yet, each of us has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit. Each of us is one of those stone jars waiting to be filled, waiting to be transformed. Do whatever He tells you. Indeed. Amen.